Blog Talk Radio.
This is Real Talk on Global Social Radio. Yeah. So deaf.
What's up, lifers? Me and ZZ have a great show planned for you today. Real quick, as Global14.com continues to grow, we will make updates to continue to give you the best experience, lifers, okay? Lifers, please be patient. We really appreciate your patience. Don't go anywhere, but we just want to, you know, make sure that as we grow, we continue to give you everything that you need and make sure, you know, the network is fast and you guys can do whatever you want in there as usual. All right, I'm locked and loaded today with Steve's baby, best energy drink out there, and it's vegan. You guys know I'm vegan, so I love when I find new products and they taste good. So don't forget to try it out and call in. Let me know how you like it. I promise you will not be disappointed. If you aren't on Global 14, all right, this is what you are missing. The Global 14 and 14 meet and greet. That is 14 cities and 14 different parties, starts at the end of the month, October 30th through November 12th. You don't want to miss this. I promise you it's going to be a whole lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of the people you talk to every day on Global 14. So check global14.com for updates. Where in the world is JD this week? October 15th, catch JD, and I just found this out, and Brat at the Armani Supper Club in Raleigh, North Carolina. Also, if you guys missed the BET Hip Hop Awards, Brat was the official announcer last night. And I think we all agree she should have been in one of them ciphers. Hey, maybe next year. Who knows? Special guest tonight, singer-songwriter Q Disc. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Can't talk today. Singer-songwriter, my homegirl, Q Dixon. She will be dropping by tonight. And this is just in from my producer, Silk the Shocker. We'll be dropping by tomorrow. I am so excited. Cannot wait. This is going to be a great interview. All right, so let's get into our quickies for the day. Weezy took to his Twitter and expressed how he felt about Uncle Boo. You know, this Miami, pulling a Miami card thing is, I don't know, I hope it doesn't get too out of hand, but he also said he wasn't feeling DJ Khaled either. Apparently, Khaled tweeted that him and Luke are taking over. And Wayne kind of feels like, you know, Khaled is taking sides. I wonder what's going to come out of this one. You know, like I said, when stuff like this pops off, I think there's better ways to handle things. But, you know, let's just stay tuned and see what happens. Also, I heard they caught the dude who hacked in to Scarlett Johansson's cell. Now, check this out. She wasn't the only one. There was a couple more celebs, but over 50 people were affected. This man could possibly go to jail for 121 years, man. I mean, some child molesters and murderers don't even get that damn long. So, I don't know. Some things I will never understand, but, you know, law is law. And also, another person that got hacked, Diddy's credit card info. It wasn't just his credit card info. It was a lot of other info as well, personal info, got hacked. And then they put it up for sale over the internet. I mean, to me personally, that sounds like an inside job. What do you think, Jeezy?
Do you think they went and took his credit card info and bought some Ciroc?
You know what? I would be surprised, but, hey, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah. The 121 years thing, though, that's ridiculous. I mean, longer than a murderer or rapist or something like that, that's just a joke. Sometimes I think our judicial system needs to reevaluate sometimes and put some common sense into play on some certain things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some crazy laws out there. We might have to do a show on crazy laws, because there's some real crazy laws out there that just been there for years, you know. People take the opportunity to press it, you know. Lawyers take the opportunity to press certain things. But anyway, all right, so if you have kids, watch where you put your eye drops, all right? A man who just had cataract surgery was required to, you know, put eye drops in his eyes, make sure they stay moist several times a day. He either had them in the bedroom or on the dinner table. You know, we all do that. We leave it in the bedroom or, you know, before we're walking out the house, we put stuff on a dinner table. We all do that. Well, his son was working on a school project at the dinner table and left the super glue on the table. The man came home late from a function. Of course, it was probably dark. And, you know, he remembered, or he thought he remembered, where he left his eye drops and grabbed what he thought was the eye drops and got to squeezing. Yo, can you imagine what he was thinking when he squeezed the super glue in his eyes? Yo,
Yeah, he can't catch a break. That's literally a not only sticky but shitty situation.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that one. And then a woman from Texas is suing. This is another dumb story. You know, people, I don't know, people do some crazy things, but a woman from Texas is suing an airline because of extreme turbulence on her flight. She felt the airline failed to tell her what the damn weather conditions were. I don't know about you, but I check the damn weather conditions before I get on a flight, because not only that, if you see that there's, you know, some weather issues, we all know, okay, then my flight might be delayed. So you go to the site and you check to see if your flight was delayed. That's what normal people do. So this lady felt like the turbulence was bad enough, and she feared for her life. Getting on a plane is a risk within itself. That's why some people are afraid to fly. They'd rather jump on a bus. So, lady, get over yourself.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think the flight, if it got a little turbulent, might rattle her brain a little bit. Like, does she sue the city when she drives over a bumpy road because there wasn't a street sign that said bumpy road?
Yeah, man. I mean, people will try to sue for anything right now. I think this goes along with our topic later on when we're talking about do people feel like they're entitled to shit. So we'll get into this later, but this definitely is one of those things. People, this is life. There's going to be turbulence on a freaking plane, man. Anyways, so BlackBerry gave us a serious rim job today. For 3 days, people have been having issues. Today was the only day I was affected by the outage, by the way. No BBM to me is like blasphemy. I don't know, like, I know we have some damn iPhone users, i.e. Renita, but my phone was down all day. I couldn't talk to my producer, so that was kind of hard. I almost thought I got fired, but, you know, it was just my BlackBerry acting up. I really, BlackBerry, you guys are disappointing me right now. The iPhone 4S is popping off. Did you allow this to happen? Like, who in the hell is on your tech team and your tech department? You guys should, I mean, you would think that someone would be like, you know what? This is coming out. We need to make sure that, you know, everything is good to go before this new iPhone launches, because, you know, I mean, it's like headline news that BlackBerry is out right now. So bad move. No word on when the issue will be resolved either.
Yeah, they, Crush, I really think they screwed up too with, I mean, for this to happen at all is a joke, because if I'm paying a phone bill, and I mean, BlackBerry, like, you're already going to pay, like, more for a phone plan, so you're going to be pissed off right then that it's not working when it should be, and you're paying that extra money to have that phone. But, I mean, the way BlackBerry sales are going, they're going to have to change REM to research it in motionless because they're going to end up not going anywhere.
Right, right. And I'm with you on that. Me, I can't go completely touchscreen. I do have an iPad. For those that I'm not anti-Mac or Apple products, but I do have an iPad. But as far as my phone and for business purposes, I would rather have a BlackBerry. So anyway, all right, if you have any comments on our quickies today, call in now. We would love to hear from you, 760-913-4119. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will talk about the Conrad Murray trial.
Yeah, so death, world, premier.
Come here, let me motivate you to the point you can't enunciate my name. My hand, you speaking in another language, not even a foreigner could interpret. Since you've been patient, we ain't gotta hesitate. I ain't gonna keep you waiting, just wanna show my appreciation. Got some sensational to sit on your plate. I got a pop brawl, drop draws, I took it all on. So once I'm Buck Lake, Michigan, I can crawl on. I got a lot of thug in me, it's cockiness. Now I got a lot of thug in me, with this cockiness hugging me. Telling me he feeling like he finna fall in love with me. Telling me that I'm the one and everything's so right, he wants to be stuck with me. My occupation is to motivate him and cultivate his mind frame to my time frame. Up through the night to the early, I'm a rider like I'm a neck and sucking dirty. Hope you ready to work it.
All right, you guys, we're back. We're getting ready to go into this Conrad Murray trial. We just found out from JD that they're talking about giving Mr. Conrad, the man who we all know and feel like he killed MJ, they're talking about only giving him 4 years. Come on, man. Like, look, let me tell y'all something. Let's go over what this right here is why our justice system is messed up, in my opinion. Let me just say this. Today alone is why Conrad should be getting more than 4 years. Cardiologist Dr. Alan Steinberg bitch slapped Conrad and his team in court today. Steinberg testified he reviewed Murray's case, trying to give Conrad's ass a chance on his very own words. Not only was Conrad inconsistent, but he found 6 separate and distinct deviations of standard of care, each one amounting to gross negligence, you guys. This is that right there, that's not 4 years of time. That's some more shit. Propofol should only be used for procedures in a hospital. It should never be used for sleep. Conrad lacked basic equipment to keep MJ alive in case of emergency.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the fact when it's like he lacked the basic equipment, he, like we said before, he made $150,000 a month. And in my book, that is, you're definitely sitting good, a month. So I don't get how he couldn't pay the extra money and just upgrade the equipment. Like, he had to recognize what he was doing. And for him to just half-ass all of his efforts, that's ridiculous like that.
Yeah, just seeing that just now just really just pissed me off. The other thing is, you know, I can't even say this dude's name right now. Conrad should have at least had an assistant at all times. This is what the cardiologist is saying pretty much. He also said Conrad should have called 911 immediately. And we all agree that that's what he should have did, but he went and called everyone else. But, which means, once again, he was ill-prepared to take care of Michael Jackson, all right? Conrad should have bagged him with an AMBU bag, then administered something called Flu Mazanel or something like that. Excuse my pronunciation of it. But this this is commonly used to reduce drowsiness and sedation. Instead of doing that, Conrad went for chest compressions instead, which MJ didn't need it if he was still breathing. Another thing that Steinberg said was Murray's breaches in care directly contributed to the untimely death of Michael Jackson.
And, I mean, right there, it's like, when you say he might only receive 4 years, it's like, this guy could have completely changed the fate of Michael Jackson. Like, he did that. That's on him. He's dead because of Conrad Murray. That, to me, that may as well be murder. And I don't see how they can say it's anything else and only give the man 4 years. And if he does only get 4 years, he's definitely going to be at the top of several people's shit list.
Yeah. If this happens, this is not going to be good at all. This is just not going to be a good thing. All right. So the other thing, Steinberg said, Conrad would have had to use a drip to keep MJ asleep for more than a few minutes. He also said, no doubt MJ would be alive today. Do you guys hear this? He knows that if Conrad would have called 911 as soon as he realized Michael Jackson was in distress, Michael Jackson would be alive today. All right? So, man, this is really just pissed me off. But another special note, Conrad should have always kept a log of what he gave MJ. What's crazy about this, Mr. Conrad was asked, what did he give MJ prior to the incident? And guess what Conrad said? He said he didn't know.
I don't. I mean, I should actually do some research, but I would love to see where he got certified as a doctor. Because there's no excuse. I mean, I keep basically saying the same thing over and over, I know, but like the more I look into it, the more you hear every day, it pisses me off too.
Yeah.
For him to say he doesn't know what he gave, like, are you that stupid? Like, you don't know. How do you not keep track of that? Does that ever not cross his mind that that might be a good idea that he does? At least so he wouldn't give him something twice too much.
Yo, I have no words. I mean, this kind of threw me and caught me off guard about the 4 year thing. I mean, you guys, just like what we just talked about with the hacking incident, and this man is getting ready to get 121 years for pulling off some naked titty ass pictures of some celebrity off of her phone, but someone that blatantly just defied all rules of being a doctor, a public servant, just pretty much just like he's going to get 4 years. Do we not see what the problem is here? 121 years for hacking somebody's phone, and then you have someone that killed a legend? 4 years? So we're going to stay tuned with this, you guys. We're going to keep doing some research. I can't get online to see what's going on. If somebody is listening and they see or they're reading something that's saying that he might get just 4 years, please call in and give us some info while we're live. We can't really see everything, so if someone has some info, please let us know. By the way, those just tuning in, we just finished talking about the Conrad Murray trial. We overheard and saw some tweets on Conrad only getting 4 years. So let us know your thoughts. Call in 760-913-4119. Oh, man. Okay. Let me calm down for a minute. All right. So let's get into our second topic of the night. All right. Does our society have entitlement issues?
I obviously think that I obviously think that they do have entitlement issues. I mean, I don't know how often that I see people and they just expect something to be handed to them. I have a couple friends, and you know, their parents make a significant amount of money, and sometimes I just see them and their parents, they've never had to work for anything almost, and their parents just gave them everything, and it's like I see them and they even think their future is going to work that way, in which it's sad because I haven't, for everything that I have, I feel like I truly have worked for it in some way, whether maybe not that hard or I busted my ass for it. And I've actually had a taste of the cold world, like J. Cole would say. And it's just like, it's going to be a sad reality for these people when they realize that it's not going to be entitled to them. They're going to have to work for it. They're not people going to college and expecting a $100,000 job a year. No, it's not going to be that way if you just sit back and take your classes. You need to network and bust your ass for where you want to be in your future.
Yo, you can say that again. I think we should put that and make a remix out of what you just said. Because I'm going to tell you right now, people think that an education is a good thing, okay? I don't want people to think what I'm getting ready to say, I'm saying that an education is a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you guys, your education is key, but that does not mean you automatically graduate and get a job. All right? It's experience. Just imagine if you have your own company, and let's say you're installing carpet. Someone that just, you know, finished graduating carpentry school, you know, and then there's someone that has 15 years experience, but they're not certified. Let me tell you guys something. Who would you rather pick? I'll be honest. Someone that has 15 years experience and has excellent, you know, excellent, I can't think of the word. The people that recommend this person, you know, recommendations. There you go. All right. This Conrad thing is just throwing me off. So people that have 15 years experience and excellent recommendations and someone that just graduated carpentry school, good Lord, what's wrong with me today? I would choose the person with the most experience, all right? So once again, it just doesn't stop there. You're not, like, some of you probably sitting at home right now and you're thinking, I paid all this money for, you know, an education. We understand that, but you guys, it doesn't stop there. It just doesn't. You know, where did this give me attitude come from? A lot of people just want, and don't give shit. This is a very selfish attitude. I'm just wondering, like, where did they come from, yo? And today, I don't think we're the only ones frustrated today. On Twitter, Tiger sounded off, and I definitely felt what he was saying.
Yeah, I'm going to actually read some of the tweets. Sorry, I'm going to actually read all of them when he was talking about it. Sorry if this sounds a bit choppy because it's just how it shows up. And he begins and he says, our generation is fucked up. No one's original anymore. Negativity outweighs the positive. Social networking has altered our morals. No one believes no more. No one has their own ambitions. The more ignorance comes to life, the more values are dying. I didn't go to college because I believed in myself as a musician, and that's what my goals were since I was young. Not everyone is an entertainer and talented, yet everything is entertainment, whether it's a bum off the street or a politician speaking about the world. There's no separation from what's real or who's real. Our generation media has placed us in all one category. Nowadays, what's passionate to you is a joke to others. Everyone needs someone to look at as examples or as a reference to find themselves in life. Guidance, a hero, but who are the real heroes when everyone is portraying to be one? One, everyone needs a fan, but no one wants to support. Hate comes from intimidation. Love comes from appreciation. Just know who you are and your position in life. And, you know, like you even said about the college thing, personally,
yeah.
I don't really think a college degree means shit, except you have these goals and you can accomplish a goal. That's all I think a college degree means. If you have the right attitude, you can, like, what's holding you back from going out and doing something yourself? I mean,
yes, you got a good point. You got a good point.
Personally, me, if I knew how to go about doing things, I wouldn't be in college right now. Like, I'm miserable here, and I feel like I could go out and do something on my own. Like, I have several big life goals that I wouldn't mind doing as careers, but one that I've always wanted to do is, and it sounds weird, I want to own a hotel. Like, there's no degree that says
weird.
I don't have to have a degree to go own a hotel. If I could get people to invest in my idea, I could go out and do it right now. Now, most people are going to say, well, you haven't been to college. You have no experience at running a business. But, I mean, it's things like that. And I think Tyga just made a lot of sense. Like, if you know how to go about doing something, you can. And when he said it, I felt like everyone's just kind of closed-minded and selfish. I felt that's what he was getting at.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, it's. Look, we can go on all day about this topic because I got some things I can share, but I'm going to keep that to myself. We can definitely talk about this all day. But, you know, even a good example, a while back on Global 14, a lifer posted, why don't black entertainers hire their own? Okay? That is exactly what I'm talking about. Should I hire people because they are black? Should I hire people because they are white? You know, I will only hire people who are committed, professional, and can do the job. It doesn't matter what color you are. It's the same as Obama in office and then some black people thinking that he's supposed to come and save the whole community. You guys, it's not going to happen. If you don't want to save the community yourself, that Obama by himself cannot save all of us, all right? He is not Captain Save-A-Ho. So I need people to get off of that shit, too. All right? The other thing is no one owes you guys anything. You have to go out there and get it. There's a lot more pain than progress out there because people would rather sell each other out than get shit the honest way. That goes for you jump off, too. We ain't leaving you out. You are entitled to a man's life because you gave him some ass. Get over yourself. Men who aren't entitled to some ass, you know you're not. Because you handed a woman some cash, it goes both ways, you guys. Like, you're never entitled to anything. You got to work for it. So that means you got to start either working to get what you want, work for a good relationship. That's a general statement. Work for a good relationship, whether it's a friendship or marriage. You got to work at it. You can't just show up and think that someone is supposed to be in love with you. You can't just show up to a job and expect a raise. That's not how it works. So, people, please, call in. Let me know how you feel. Does our society have entitlement issues? 760-913-4119. Let's take a quick commercial break. Call in if you have something to say.
I don't even know if you understand how hot this shit got me, got me. I don't even know if you understand how hot this shit got me, got me. I don't even know if you understand how hot this shit got me, got me. I don't even know if you understand how hot this shit got me. Here we go.
I'm melting like butter on toast. Ain't nothing in this world I want more than you right here tonight. I wanna see the moon in your eyes.
So I
need you to hold me like a red dollar bill.
Won't ya?
Come take control and give me something to feel.
Oh, I
won't complain, I'll let you do what you please. Cause I'm coming apart at the seams, oh boy.
You got me 102 degrees. For the way you touching me, I'm past the boiling point.
All right, welcome back, lifers. If you just tuned in, we just talked about does our society have entitlement issues? Call in 760-913-4119. All right, we are here. We are going to go ahead and get into our spilled tea segment. What's up, Renita? What's up, crush? How you doing today?
I'm a little frustrated, but we'll get past it.
Okay, I heard you getting a little hot under the collar with Conrad, so.
Yeah, you know how I feel about his old Ninja Turtle looking ass. Anyway, go ahead.
Ooh, not Donatello. Hey, everyone, it's your girl with the spilt tea for today. Now, get this combination, Little Kim, Rock Wilder, and Little X. Nope, it's not the next Little Kim single. That's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, shit, Kim coming out. Nope, they are coming out with a competition called America's Next Top Rapper. You can go to americasnexttoprapper.net and sign up. Now, the prize is worth $100,000. You get $20,000 in cash. You get a distribution deal through Universal. You get your video shot by Little X. You get a song produced by Rock Wilder, which will feature Little Kim, and a national tour. The only catch about this contest is you have to pay $200. Yes, gentlemen and ladies, $200 to register for the contest. Now, Crush, would you pay? If you knew, knowing the prize, would you pay $200 to get into this contest?
Hell no. It sounds like another pay. I sold 1 million damn mixtapes on PayPal. That's what the hell it sounds like. It sounds like some old bullshit.
But you know, I bet it's going to be full of people that's going to pay that $200. Me personally, if the prize is $100,000, and you're charging people $200 apiece, you guys are going to make more than $100,000, I think. But I'm going to keep my eye on that, and I'm got IRS on speed dial. Also, Rihanna just was featured in Esquire magazine. She was named the sexiest woman alive. What's interesting is she said that she is still a fan of Chris Brown's music, that she has moved on with her life. She doesn't wish him any harm or anything like that. Now, the last time that she said something nice about Chris Brown since the incident, her fans literally attacked her on Twitter. They had a big fit once they realized that the two artists were even following each other on Twitter. Now she came out in print and said something. Now, I'm going to give you guys a little insight, what I know from my people. They've been meeting up at a certain celeb's house and kicking it way before all this Twitter and all of that. So they've been men fences. So Rihanna fans, or Rihanna stans, I should say, y'all need to chill, because if she's over it, obviously America's over it, because the Fame Tour and Chris is very successful right now. So I think if she's over it, we should get over it. Today, I'm announcing I'm an official Kardashian. No, they don't know yet, but it's all good. I'm going to call Chris and let her know that I'm the black sheep of the family, and it's all good. Because as of 2012 people, Kris Jenner, yeah, I say Kris Jenner because she's the mastermind behind all of this. Her family, the Kardashians, will be billionaires. With everything that Kourtney and Kim and Khloe alone has already started, that means their Sears, QVC, the jewelry, everything, they're already right there at the line. They have a new nail polish line coming out. They have a handbag that's going to be exclusive in Australia. I'm like, they have so much coming out. And then my spies tell me they have another spinoff of a Kardashian coming out. So I don't know if Mason's about to get a baby show, if the other two young ones is about to, I don't even know. Maybe, like, Bruce is finally going to get a spinoff. I don't know, but they're about to be billionaires.
Him and his wig.
But maybe it's a wig line. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a hair show. Like, Jeezy, what do you think? Like, they're about to be billionaires off of reality TV.
I mean, I think it's kind of amazing. Like, you know, talking about entitlement, look at them. I mean, they didn't really feel entitled to any of that. I mean, maybe in a way, maybe mentally they did, but also they were go-getters. I mean, you can't get mad at them. They went, and by establishing those lines and everything, they went and did it themselves. So, I mean, $1 billion, that sounds, I mean, I wouldn't imagine it's that much. I mean, donate your house to me. I've seen parts of the Kardashians. I love those houses they live in. But, I mean, you know, I give them credit for going out and doing all that.
You know what? I think if anyone needs to be broken off, it's Ray J. Because if Ray J and Kim never did the sex tape, it would have never got leaked by Kris Jenner. I don't care what anyone says. And, Kris, you can call me up because I know, boo, you flipped that sex tape so fast, I know you dropped it yourself. They need to break Ray J off, and the whole Norwood family should not want for nothing because this – I mean, to me, that sex tape was the biggest piece, but whew, like I said, call me Kardashian because I want some of that money. I was just talking about Evelyn yesterday, and now Royce Reed dropped a bombshell via Twitter. She has announced she will not be, as of right now, continuing with the show and on season 4. She said that just basically artists, differences, and that's it. Now, what's funny is Royce forgot to tell VH1. So VH1 found out when all her followers found out, and it was announced by all of us, you know, the gossip scene. So I'm like, wow, Royce, really? Like, no love for VH1. I guess she's like, well, they're following me, so you might as well know when everybody else knows. Now, my thing is, I don't know. The Miami franchise is a good franchise. Royce may just be getting tired of being like the one always picked on, but I bet you if Shawnee wave a nice check in front of her, that for now will be like, oh, y'all will see me on season 4. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that. This is your girl, Renita, with the spilt tea for the day here on Real Talk on Global 14 Radio. You can catch me on Global 14. I'm at Rock and Roller. So come. You show me some love. Talk to me, people. It's RockNRolla.
All right. Thank you, Renita, for calling in. Thank you very much. Ryan, what you got for us today on the G Report?
Oh, just a couple stories. But I know this is off topic. I just want to say one last thing about this to our listeners. If someone is, it's about the entitlement thing again. I know, I'm sorry for keep going on about it, and I could all day like you. But I just want to say one more thing. If you in your mind have something set and you want to go after it, don't wait for an opportunity to come to you. You go after it. Everything that I have done, maybe it's not necessarily a job, but, I mean, all my internships, everything I've done with media and stuff, I mean, it's nothing big, but, I mean, it's all start off and – I mean, stuff like that, I went after it. And so far, everything I've went after, it's worked out in my favor. So you can't let that physical barrier hold you back. But that's all. I'm said and done about that. And I want to start off today with some tech. It's not really news, but I want to go over the Dre Beats and the Bose Q15s. And by Dre Beats, I mean the studios. Now, Crush, do you have a pair of the Dre Beats or Bose?
No, I don't. Not at all, but I've always wanted a pair of the Dre Beats, so I'm kind of curious to see what you're going to say.
Now, me personally, I don't have either of them either, because if I bought one, I'd want to get the Studios or the Q15s, and they're both $300, which, personally, I just don't have that sitting there yet, but we'll see. Hopefully the lottery or something comes in my favor. And the thing about it was, I personally, when I looked up the reviews on it, the first place I went was CNET, because they usually thoroughly review all these products and electronics and tech gadgets, stuff like that.
CNET, I go on CNET as well. Yeah,
they're very good about all their stuff, computer programs, everything. And they had the Bose Q15s winning by The Q15s got rated a 9 out of 10, while the Dre Beats got an 8 out of 10. which, you know, I mean, I've tried them both on. I have friends that have the Dre Beats. Everyone here on this college campus has Dre Beats. But personally, I like the Bose Q15s better. I mean, I think they do a better job at noise canceling. The bass might not be as intact as the Dre Beats, but I think the sound quality and all that, it just goes deeper. And, I mean, as far as comfort, they're both comfortable. The Dre Beats definitely look better, I think. I think they're a lot more visually appealing. I think that's another reason why. But, I mean, all in all, I think it's a very close product. And I wish they, Harman and Kardon, they're an audio product. I don't know if you've ever heard about them, but I wish they would come out with a pair of noise-canceling headphones because that's my favorite. I'd buy them over Bose any day.
Oh, wow.
And that's my input about all those, about the headphones.
Okay.
So regardless what product you get, you're going to pay about the same. They're both very close in characteristics. But people that comment on it like the Bose better, CNET rated the Bose better. And I suppose it's all personal opinion. But I just wanted to say that. And if anybody wants to call in and say anything about the Bose or Dre Beats, call in. I'd love to hear your personal preference and why you like that better than the other. And then my next story. There was a salon shooting in Seal Beach, California. And a man ran in this salon. It was rather busy. I mean, every stall, there was somebody sitting there. And a man ran in. And right now, nobody knows what his motive really was. And six people were found dead right there at the scene, and three were taken critically to the hospital. Two later in the day died, and luckily they found the suspect at a traffic stop a half a mile away from the salon. And like I said, the motive is still uncertain, but the crazy thing was Seal Beach last year only had one homicide.
Dang.
And now, I mean, year's almost over, you could say. We're about 10 months in, 10 and a half months in, and eight people are dead right now. So I thought that was crazy. And
yeah,
for
that's
another
a lot.
Story.
That's a lot. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, especially right in one spot in one day. And when cops pulled him over, they also had found several other guns with him. So I think that might be interesting to hear what was all behind that. They didn't really have a lot said about the story, so it'll be interesting to see what more gets unraveled. And this one shocked me. In Florida, I'm about to butcher this county name, but it's Pinellas County. It's one of the biggest in Florida and has a population of 700,000. They're going to remove the fluoride from their drinking water.
Oh, really?
Now, fluoride,
did they say why?
Yeah. Excuse me, what did you say?
I said, I'm wondering why.
See, and that's the thing I didn't understand, because fluoride has been proven to help prevent cavities and tooth decay, and commissioners this week voted that they will stop adding the chemical by the end of this year, so it'll be out of the water supply. I know the vote was very close. It was 4-3, 4, obviously, in favor of getting rid of it. But the movement was mostly influenced by Tea Party propaganda rather than health or financial considerations. Some people that were against the fluoride, they didn't like the fact that they refer to it as toxic being put in their water. I don't understand how they can get toxic out of something that clearly is going to help you out. Because if you look at a country and they simply don't have fluoride in their water, their teeth just look gross. It looks like they've been chewing on a steel bar for about a day and a half.
Right.
And, I mean, one person at the town meetings even went out and he said he paid $1,500 for a filter because he didn't trust the people that added the chemical to the water. And, I mean, fluoride's been put in the water since 1940, so it's obvious that it is safe because you don't hear of anybody – at least I haven't heard of anybody dying from too much fluoride in the water. So wherever these people in this county got this idea, I think they all fell off the deep end, personally. I think the salt water might be getting to their head.
Right. Well, we should do some more research on that, because I definitely would like to know why in the hell are they taking that out of the water. So I'm sure there's something behind it, but if there isn't, we definitely going to talk about it, bring it back on the show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then a British man named Robert Sloan, he was a former Army mechanic, and he was 31, placed third in a marathon, but sooner than later, he would get that taken away. Sloan ran in the Solomon Kielder Marathon in England, which, for those of you that don't know, a marathon is 26.2 miles, but Sloan only ran 20 of those miles. And guess what he did for the rest of the ride? He rode a tour bus. He took a tour bus the rest of the way for the marathon. And after he got off the bus, he hid in the woods for a while and then came out. But what rose people's suspicions was the fourth place person never seen himself get passed by the person that ended up coming in fourth and never seen this guy pass him. And the person in fourth, you know, that made him very mad, and he reported it to somebody, and then the police began to investigate the incident. And another key factor that pointed out that he obviously cheated was he beat his old PR by quite a bit. By 21 minutes, he finished faster. So that also raised a red flag, and eventually the man admitted that he had got on this bus and cheated in the marathon. So he got that taken away, and the man that came in fourth was awarded third place.
Wow. That's crazy, man. People taking cheating to a whole new level.
Yeah, it's crazy. He got on the bus. And the thing that got me is, if you're going to run 5 miles, why don't you just run the other? I mean, excuse me, if you're going to run 20 miles, why don't you just run the other six? After a while, you start running. It's pretty much like it's all the same from people that I've heard of that have ran marathons and half marathons. But that shit's crazy.
Crazy shit. Yeah, crazy shit.
That is all I have for you, though, today on the G Report.
All right. Well, Ryan, thank you once again for the G Report. Look forward to the G Report tomorrow. Right now, we are going to take a quick commercial break. We will be up next with singer-songwriter Q Dixon. Stay tuned. Welcome back, lifers. Right now, I have my good friend and songbird, Q Dixon, on the line. What's up, Q?
What up, man?
How are you? I know I saw you a couple of weeks ago, and you are one of the three background singers for Faith Evans, by the way, those of you that don't know that. You guys have such great energy on stage, and I had so much fun with you guys, and I'm proud of you, too. Tell us how that came about, and how is it working with the icon like Faith?
It is definitely amazing. It's surreal. I remember when I got the show CD, when she gave me the list of songs and things like, oh, you know, these are the songs that we're going to be performing when we do our last set. And it was crazy because I knew every single song that she gave me. And it was kind of like an aha moment for me, like, wow, these are some of my favorite songs by one of my favorite artists. And now I'm being blessed with the opportunity to sing these songs on stage. So it never, ever feels like work to me. It's always just a party. And if you ever come to one of the shows and you see us up there, you see that it's just a party for us, for the girls, for Faith, for the band. It's just, we just have fun. We have an amazing time. I met Faith, we did a New Year's Eve gig like 3 years ago, maybe mm-hmm. even 4 years ago, and I opened up for her. And so when it was over, like, there were so many people, I couldn't get to the front of the stage or even back to where the audience was to even see the show. So I had to see the show from the side of the stage, and I was kind of bummed out, like, oh, my God, I can't see her. But it was cool because she's, like, doing her thing, and I'm like jamming, and then she stops, and everybody's like, we love you, Faith, and I'm like, yeah. And she happens to look over, and she's like, no, by the way, like, give it up for Q that just went off the stage. Like, she's a beast. I love her. So I was like, oh, my God, like, I'm a fan of you. Now you're a fan of me. And, like, I was here out. I did clutch my pearls. I almost passed out, honey. I was done. Like, this is it. It's one of those moments, like, you know, you sing and you're on stage and you do your thing day in and day out, and you never really know who you affect. You don't know who's watching you. You know what I mean? And you really, if you're a real artist, you don't ever even do it for the recognition. But to be recognized is always a good feeling. And then I think we would see each other out, and she'd always say hi. She remembered me, and she was kind of revamping the band, revamping the singers, and my name came up, and she's like, oh, my God, do you think she would do it? And I'm like, nigga, I would do it for free, like, but it was just, like, really, like, your Faith Evans, right. You know what I mean? I literally grew up listening to her music, so thank God I don't do it for free, but it was the rest is history. Like, you can catch us anywhere, everywhere. We're all over the place now. I'm just,
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, and I also appreciate you taking me to meet her as well. She's really cool. We talked about it. She'll be on the show soon enough, but definitely Faith is cool as hell. So I wanted to talk about this. Your family is full of musicians and singers. And how was it growing up in such a talented atmosphere?
It was equally inspiring and intimidating, mainly because there's six of us total. I'm number four, so my two little brothers sing and play instruments, almost every instrument. And then my older sister sang. Now, I don't remember if my older two brothers sing or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they could. But my sister sang, and I always wanted to sing. Like, I think I started when I was maybe like four or five. And she would sing at church and funerals and, like, around the neighborhood. And that's how I started, too. But knowing that she sang, it's like, oh, you know, am I ever going to sound like her? Am I going to be good like her? And then she stopped singing, and it feels like I kind of took over from there. And then I didn't even know either of my two little brothers sang until, like, I became an adult. Like, one of my brothers, my baby brother, he's a dancer. He's a trained dancer. So I knew he did that, but I had no idea he even sang. And now he's amazing. He's getting ready to sign a deal. He's doing a lot of work with Tyrese, and he sings background with Faith when, you know, any one of us can't be there. And, like, it the way it blew up was crazy. So it's like, you know, sometimes the three of us will do stuff together, and people are like, oh, my God, like, you guys are amazing. The Dixons, it's a family thing. And it's cool. It's cool to have my little brothers there. We use each other, you know, interchangeably. One of them plays for me if I need to sing and I can't find my background singers. I call Kenyon and he calls me, and we just do it, like, without even thinking about it. So, it comes in handy to have siblings that are musically inclined because we use each other for everything. And it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, you guys always seem like you have a lot of fun, and I know you guys are serious about your music as well. So who inspires you as an artist, and who would you love to work with? I know you're working with Faith, but if it was anyone else that you could choose, you know, who would you choose?
Wow. Music is so diverse, and it's changed so much, even in collaborations, like, you know, things that people that you wouldn't expect to, you know, be on a song together. It's happening right now. Like, it's crazy to me. I'm a big hip-hop fan. I think coming from, you know, my environment, like rap and hip hop was really big, and then there's mostly boys in my family, so, you know, it was like, oh yeah, all these dudes is in the rap, so I became like, you know, a hip hop soul kind of girl. And so, I mean, of course, I love Drake. You know, I would love to do like an album, I mean, a song with Drake. And I'm trying to, I don't know, my, like the perfect song for me right now, which is funny, like I'm my I don't know if I had to say my fantasy collaboration. Like, I want to redo, like, the old Method Man and Mary J., like, You're All I Need.
Oh,
like, that's
really?
Like, that's my fantasy combination of music song. Like, you know what I mean? That gritty soul, you know what I mean? Because Mary
right.
just gets raw. And, like I love that era of hip-hop music, hip-hop soul.
Yeah.
And so, what is this? Is it Chrisette Michelle and Rick Ross, Aston Martin music, love that song. Like, love it, love it, love it, love it. And because that reminds
yeah, so
me kind
you,
of, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rick Ross, I don't know if you saw last night, Rick Ross with them TLC Creep pajamas on last night.
No, ma'am.
Look,
no.
I like his music, but, yo, them silk pajamas he had on last night was killing me. But, yeah, I agree with you. Definitely agree with you.
That's
I can see it.
No, I had a gig last night in Vegas, so I happened to be on stage when the awards were on, but I saw Twitter, and I'm speechless. I can't,
right,
you know,
right.
Twitter does all of the reporting you ever need when you're not available, when you can't see whatever show it is, so I, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Play by play, right? You can't get away with
exactly.
nothing. Like, yeah.
Not a thing.
Well, we have, you are on Global 14, your username is at Q Dixon LA. We have a Pump It or Dump It group on global14.com where, you know, we critique people's music. Some is constructive and some is just like, hell nah, you suck. Go somewhere with that shit, you know.
Right.
But what do you do when people criticize you, and what advice would you give to people that, you know, might feel discouraged when someone says, oh, your shit sucks? What would you say?
I'm a stickler for honesty. So, you know, there comes a certain maturity level in your life and a place of understanding where you can accept criticism, good or bad, and be okay with it. You know, take it for what it's worth and not let it affect you. So I feel like I've been enlightened to that place where, you know, if it's no good, I'm okay with hearing that. First of all, I'm never going to put anything out that's not good, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm very confident.
Right.
And then the people that I work with, I'm really blessed. I work with some amazing people. Like, anybody that knows that any given time when there's me and any of my friends around, we literally all sing amazingly. The musicians are amazing. Like, we're all touring, working artists, and, you know, we work with some great people. So I know my camp. I know my team. I know my crew. Like, there's nothing whack about my team and my crew. Like, the wackest songs to me are the ones that niggas is still jamming to. Like, Get It Together is, like, 5 years old, believe it or not. I don't even
right.
sound like that anymore. But the song goes. Like, there's nothing you can say that's like, I don't know. Like, it wouldn't matter anyway. Like, I know that shit is on, so it don't matter. You know,
right.
Like,
you're like, oh, yeah, whatever.
But on the flip side of that, for, like, you know, people that are coming up and, you know, want that advice, like, you just have to be open. Be open because, and you have to have, you know, a certain spirit of discernment to be able to know, like, you know, is this constructive criticism or is this just somebody that's being hateful, being hurtful, being, you know, just objective
right.
because they're at a bad place in their life. You know, pray for that discernment so you know, because it will determine, you know, how far you go, and it will determine, you know, whether you have the right people around you. You always want to make sure you have those right people around you that are giving you the advice that you need and not just, you know, trying to be jealous and hurtful to you. But just take it. Be open. Listen. Take what you can. You know, don't be too emotionally attached to it, you know what I mean? And if you're a good artist and, you know, you're an effective artist, then you'll go back and redo, you know, revamp whatever your sound is, or revamp, think about where you want to go, and from that will come some amazing music and amazing project. And I had to take that. I went through that phase, so, you know, I feel like I've come out smashing, banging, you know. It is what it is.
right, definitely. Well, check this out. You know, I have two things. We're running out of time, but I'm going to get these two things out. First, I want to ask you a personal question. Okay?
Yes.
It's not going to be nothing crazy, though. Nothing crazy. You know,
deep
I
breath.
Know you. You know, I know you, so you know.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do
right.
that. But. So, what would you say is the biggest misconception about you as a person?
People think I'm mean, believe it or not. For people that know me, they know it's the exact opposite, but people think I'm mean, and it's just, it's so not true. Like, but those things, the people that have come to me that I didn't know that they thought I was mean, or, you know, they were standoffish because they, you know, felt some kind of way about me, that have the opportunity to get to know me without being all up in my face, to see me in my environment with my people, with my friends, have always come back and been like, Q, I thought you were so mean, but oh my God, you're so cool, you're so funny, you're so goofy. Like, I'm so open with my life, and, you know, if I have it, it goes to everybody that, you know, that needs it. I'm such a giving, you know, person. I love to smile, I love to be happy, and I think I have so much going on. My mind moves a mile a minute. It moves faster than my mouth, if you can believe that, because I can talk. My mind moves so fast that I think what's going on in my head reflects on my face, and I probably look confused, but it comes off as looking like, oh my God, she's a bitch. And it just, if I knew at that moment that somebody was thinking like, oh, I don't know about you, I'd be like, it ain't even about you, baby. Like, it's just what's going on in my head right now. But I don't know until it's late, you know.
Yeah, no, I get the same thing, but, you know, me knowing you, yeah, I know them looks. People don't. I know them looks. So I know exactly what people are talking about, but fortunately I know you. So I can, if someone was like, oh, she's a bitch, no, that's not her. If you talk to her, you know, it's not like that. So, but, all right. So the second thing that I'm going to ask you, and this is what we ask every artist on the show, we ask them to sing. So go ahead, lay it on us. Go ahead.
And that's funny because, you know, I knew that was going to happen, but I have no idea what to even sing. let me think really quickly. I have, like, songs I sing when I had to audition, and I'm just like, well, okay, so, you know what, I'll sing one of those. And it's one of my influences, Ella Fitzgerald. She's a jazz artist, totally jazz artist. I love jazz. So this is Them, Their Eyes. I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them there eyes. You've got a certain cute little way of flirting with them there eyes. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel so blue. I'm stalling, I'm falling in a great big way for you. My heart is thumping. You've started something with them there eyes. Better watch out, little brown eyes, if they're wide. They sparkle, they bubble, they're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. I'm talking about them, their eyes.
Yes, 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 yes. As usual, you sound great. Yo, I so appreciate you for dropping by. So appreciate you for dropping by on Real Talk Radio. Please tell your friends. I'm going to get with you because I know, like you said, your whole clan, like I know they can blow. I'm going to get your brother on here. I wish you so much success. I know I'm going to see you sooner than later.
Thank you. All right, I will. I'll text you.
thank you so much for joining. And, hey, keep doing you.
Thanks for
Love
having
you.
Me. I will. Love you, too.
All right. All right, lifers, well, that was Q Dixon. If you missed it, she just sung the shit out of Them Their Eyes by Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, this is how we do on Real Talk. We get down on here. So let me thank everybody that tunes into the show. We are getting a lot more hits every single day. When I wake up and I check our stats and our views and everything else, like, I'm amazed. So, you know, hard work does pay off. I also want to let you guys know, tomorrow we are interviewing Silk the Shocker, all right? So that just came in, but I'm going to let you know right now it's going to be a great interview, so stay tuned for that. I want to thank JD. I also want to thank our listeners. You can find us on global14.com and Twitter at Global 14 and at G14 Radio. That's G14 Radio. Thanks for tuning in to Global 14 Radio's Real Talk. LTL for life. Good night.
So death.
Global 14 Radio.